It's time to walk on.
Walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on.
The Potakin Center for Contemplative Walking is breaking new trails in the exploration of walking as a contemplative activity. Our Walk On podcasts introduce the people who are leading this exploration and the people who are doing contemplative walking themselves.
Walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on.
Welcome to another Walk On podcast. These two episodes come from a retreat workshop hosted by the Potakin Center in April of 2017. A group of seven walkers gathered for a day to learn about and to practice the most popular of all contemplative walking practices, pilgrimage. As the day concluded, we asked them to share why they walk, where they prefer to walk, and what contemplative walking means to them. You may find the audio quality of this recording varies with people's location in the room and the quality of their voices. We hope you find their words more than make up for this.
Walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on.
We've already, some of us have shared where we like to walk or where we have walked before, but if we could just take a second to note what our preferred walking environment is like. So I hear a lot of people say alone. Maybe it is in group, but why one way or the other? Why is that your preferred way of walking or environment?
I think for me, it's I can go whenever I want.
Yes.
I always end up going by myself. Mm-hmm. My husband is a great fan of walking. I am pokey, so I don't want to go with someone else's pace. Most people tend to be faster than I want to go. And I can stop, go, whatever flow is happening. So that's, I prefer to go by myself.
I've met all my neighbors. They all know who that girl is with the poles when I'm motoring. And then I'll stop and talk. And I like the back dirt roads. That's my favorite. Good footing. Very pretty.
Mm-hmm. I love walking around town. Because I haven't done it for so long. It's so different, it's mm-hmm. busy, it's, and it, certainly if I really need to think, it's not the place to be, but there's some sort of an energy to it that I like. So I'd say I like both for different reasons.
It would be nice to be able to go from point A to point B.
Oh, it is?
I find water is always, whether it's in a city or in the country, or in any country that I've walked, being by the water, my preferred.
I like hills.
Mm-hmm.
I like a diversity of types of walks. I like the nature walk, of course, but I also like walking not for a long time, but for some time in a bustling area. I like walking in a big city. Just there's a certain energy that you can absorb and feel.
Mm.
But it's not for long. I think it can be quite overwhelming
mm-hmm.
after hours or a few days if you're in a big city that you're visiting. I find it tiring after that time. And the other time that I like to walk is I like to walk either early morning or late afternoon into the evening. I like to see the shadows and the shapes of trees or buildings when the sun isn't high. Because when the sun's high in the sky, it's a bit, things are a bit of a blur, and you don't get the profile that you get
mm-hmm.
on those beginning or end times. And then I guess my final thought is I always like walking when there's a little bit of a certain energy in the air, whether it's because of wind or if there's a pending storm or if there's there's a rush of air, and it's always refreshing. You feel like you're on the earth, kind of energized by that.
Would you ever walk out into a storm?
I don't mind a storm. I you have to be careful with lightning. And
it's not so bad if
you hit. I hear it's not. It can be quite.
It can be deadly too.
Yeah, it can be that too. But no, that feeling of being on the water, close to the water, if there's waves. And
speaking of energy, if you want to really feel some energy coming up through your feet, walk a golf course barefoot. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about stepping on anything horrible because they manicure it so well in the morning and with the dew. Boy, you are grounded.
I find the same thing walking on a sandy beach.
Yes.
Yes. Good for the soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the souls. Yep.
Now, I've heard people say that walking at one point was to get from A to B, or sometimes to clear your head. I'm wondering what purpose walking serves for you now, or what it means to you.
It's almost a celebration of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Certainly has that an element of freedom.
I think there's an element of privacy, too, you know, that where we were today, kind of, you know, in and out of the town and into the parks and stuff like that. And when Josh and I shift into, like the Millennium Trail or the K&P, there's this sense of almost like a shell around us, you know, that we're in our own space and we can have our own fun, our own experience.
And that's what I was going to say. Mike had said that sometimes it is nice to be in groups of people. And I spent a couple of months in Florida and did a lot of walking around people. Solitude in this world, but not of this, lots of surrounding of other people, and yet I can be in my own little bubble. Mm-hmm. and can still feed myself. Kind of rich to be able to do that and go to point B.
So how do you understand contemplative walking? If you had to sort of explain or describe it to someone as you experience or understand it.
Using breath work as I'm mm-hmm. as I'm going, and of course pacing your footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
Three steps inhale, three steps exhale, something like then do reverse breathing. That's really hard to do. You have to really concentrate to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Other times I need to pick myself up a bit. So I'll hike along and I'll say, you are strong, you are healthy. Build myself up. Maybe I've just gotten all of the flu or something and I feel like I really need to get myself back in the groove.
I think the meaning that you taught us about contemplation, which is just being open, having no thought of judging or analyzing, but just that openness, I think that's the way I approach a walk. I'm open to the experience. I don't have a particular destination in mind. And I think that is the style of walking that I've always embraced. So I think I guess that's what I've been doing.
You find some days you set out on a walk and you have a certain distance in mind and then you get carried away and keep going farther and farther?
I guess I have time constraints. I have to be back to go somewhere,
yeah,
usually every day. But as far as I'm very fortunate, I just take off across the road and there are many directions I can go.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just go one way, sometimes another. I don't head out with any particular destination in mind. And I'm very fortunate to have that. All those options.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a more more conducive to contemplative walking to have those options, having many choices.
Earlier you had said how maybe you had unintentionally been part of a pilgrimage before. This was this morning, and that sort of stood out to me because I think for me that was a shift, sort of like you 4 or 5 years ago. I was out walking just for the purpose of exercise, and I don't know what shift happened, but I realized that that particular walk didn't end up being just for exercise, whether it was contemplative or I remember feeling sort of this visceral shift.
Yeah, sometimes you can leave the house on a walk and being quite angry with someone, and by the time you're back, okay. I can chill over that.
It puts things in balance, and movement, oxytocin being produced as well in our bodies,
that's
our brains.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and it's just so healthy on many, many levels, but it's healthy for the spirit, too, because mm-hmm. it is uplifting and you can work through negatives or hard feelings, and you recognize that it's all in perspective. This too shall pass, and that, you know, nature will continue on, and there's perfection in just this moment, and I'm here at this moment to learn something. And what is it that I'm to learn? Sometimes that reveals itself when you turn it off and you do that meditation in motion. It becomes quite clear.
So would you say that's an example of contemplative walking?
Oh, yes. Yes, for sure. Purposeful and contemplative at the same time.
That raises another question, Dorothy, about structure. You know, part of what we did today was, you know, we talked about theories of a structure, and with things like a labyrinth, where, you know, you have a very specific structure to it, do any of you ever bring a structure to the walk? For this part of it, I'm going to do this. For this part, I'm going to do that. You know, I'll walk for 10 minutes, and then I'll pray for 10 minutes, or more like what Judy was describing, where you just kind of leave yourself open to whatever comes up.
I have many destinations, and they all revolve around brooks, little bits of water that I pass over, and I walk down into the ditch and then sit and just observe the water. Recently, it's been really pretty because we had the water came up in that warm spell, then we had the cold snap, and it froze over, and now the water's dropped, but it's flowing. I can see it through the ice and all the bubbles hitting it.
Yep.
It's just wonderful.
So there's a structure of walk, sit, walk, sit, walk, sit?
Well, I don't sit.
But you pause.
I pause.
Okay.
I pause and I observe the water and listen to it and the water level and what's the shoreline like.
Yeah. Well, I think like an example I would think of is Eagle's Nest, right down near Calabogie. You walk and walk and then you go up to the top. And for most people, they do something at the top, which is they don't just sort of walk, say, okay, I'm at the top. And nobody just turns around and goes home. You know, people do something at the top. They may not name it, they may not to describe it in a particular way, but, you know, when you go up there, you see, and people, what I find when I do this, people generally don't have a vocabulary to describe that. I mean, everybody does it, but I don't think they know how to talk about it. And I wonder, you know, do you do that kind of thing where you know, if you're going on a walk, even if it's open-ended, that you go and at a certain point, you kind of stop, like you do it multiple times.
Sort of think of it as taking it in and visiting.
So it's like a pulse there. You walk and then pause, walk, pause. Yeah, interesting.
I'll in my own structure, I'll set out if I need to learn something or to rehearse something or to really put something in my mind, and I'll say, okay, I'm going to get through all this length that I need to do, and then the reward is just to just enjoy the walk to be there. But then I'll often stop at the top of the big hill, and there's not right now because it's winter, but in other seasons you stop and there's a big rock and it's warm, you sit, and that's where you just sit and meditate. Yes, the reward. So, and then the structure going home is I can just play with just enjoying without having to work my brain.
I like high spots and vistas.
The one route that I do at my cottage at the halfway mark, so the yellow poles today, I always touch the sign, and then I do some funny stretches, and people usually stare at me when they drive by, and then I always do this sort of panoramic view.
Yes.
Like I see like Douglas over towards Adamaston, and I do the exact same thing every time. It's almost like a snapshot at every angle. I don't really know why I do it, but I do it every time.
Drink it in.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that, it could be something in there about, we were talking about pilgrimage, you know, that it's a revisiting, it's a reenactment of a moment. And, you know, maybe part of what you're doing is that kind of pilgrimage quality. As you get to the yellow posts or the temple or the church or the mountain, that there's a narrative associated with that, that you like to relive. We layer those kinds of meanings on our walks, too, as you do with Brooks.
I think I'm just drawn by the sound of bubbling water.
It was nice to hear the water.
To the extent that people participate in structured, formalized religious activity, church, for example. Does walking feel like part of that, or is walking something different? Do you feel like you could be engaged in some kind of formal, is there a relationship, I guess, what I'm asking, between that kind of formal participation in an institution and the act of walking, or are they separate?
I get more from walking.
But you get something from the other stuff, too.
I don't know. Okay. Since I've been...
It's interesting for me because walking is so much part of the tradition that I'm in. Like with the Kinhin walking, anybody who does Buddhist practice does that. It's something that, it's a valid form of practice. Even within the kind of formal mindfulness training stuff, most people who teach that incorporate sit walk. I think there's a kind of effort now to reclaim that within the Christian tradition, mm-hmm. I think, in the last 100 years or so. With pilgrimage.
That sort of came up for me today, actually, while we were walking, because I feel like there's a connection somehow for me between walking and religion. I just haven't quite figured out what it is.
Well, I think the Celtic Christian tradition was all outdoors, so it kind of got commandeered indoors after having originated as an outdoor that certainly involved walking in nature. And those traditions, once they got moved indoors, were formalized and symbolized, so it's hard to see them there, but I think they're still present.
So I heard somebody say that no one here is quitting walking.
Apparently not.
I guess I want to know why that is. So why do we all intend to continue to walk, whether it's on our own or formal pilgrimage?
I'd say I find that often my mind is racing with all kinds of thoughts, and often they're worrisome thoughts. And I find that if I go on, especially a long walk, that eventually I come to a place of, well, I'm not even seeking answers. It's more a place of peace and mm-hmm. sort of almost, I don't know if mindfulness would be a good word, but where it sort of goes away, and what I'm left with is much more peaceful. So for me, I find it's really helpful.
So you'll keep walking.
To keep walking.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't find that I'm always looking for what's next or what's more with walking. I find that I feel like I'm honoring myself, the earth, and people around me through walking. Also curious about what else I will experience from walking. I feel like there are more things to experience, and I'm curious.
I don't have certain days feel I have to walk today. I just, I've got time. I'm going for a walk. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a chore, it's a joy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, I got everything done. The house is clean, the laundry's done and put away. I'm going for a walk.
I think it's so integral to my day that I, on the very rare occasions that I don't go, I know that something's wrong. and what you're saying, Emily, about curiosity, I think that going for a walk just opens the possibility of something amazing happening, and it usually...
You've been listening to another Walk On podcast presented by the Podokan Center for Contemplative Walking. Check out our growing library of videos and podcasts, enjoy our Tumblr photo essays, and visit our Facebook page. All those links can be found on our website at podokan.com. If you have a walking story to share, let us know. We'd love to hear about your experience. I'm Enan Ray Parcello. Thanks for listening, and walk on.